As Hashem, we're coming to the completion of this volume of the Peiros of Lvov Mishkan Evne on Zil Sham, which is devoted entirely to the first parak, which is the mavo, the entrance into the avoda of Mitzvah Zil Sham. The entire parak is on Machivasa Ba'olama, and here at the very end of the first parak, Rav Schwartz is explaining. The Mechal is telling us that every moment of life we have to live with a cheshbon of, is this a moment that's being the car of me, that's bringing me closer to the Bar Olam, to the Tachlis of my life, or is this a moment that could potentially be merachik, be marchik me from the Bar Olam? In order for a person to be on the program, so we learned that there needs to be Aleph Yediya Mahia Tachlis, to know what's the Tachlis of my life. I mean, that's what the first parak is all about. What's the Tachlis of life? Kivas Elokim. What's the Tachlis of life? Beis, to know that every single thing that I'm doing is either Mekarv or is Merachik. There's nothing that's outside of that. It's either Mekarv or Merachik. And Gimel, to remember it each and every moment. To live with that and to remember it. But remembering, as we're learning, we're on page Shin Yud Aleph, remembering does not mean an intellectual recollection of something, but it means v'hashevaisa elavavecha v'yadata and v'hashevaisa elavavecha hashevaisa elavavecha. A person who does not feel that he's having any nisyanis means that he's not thinking about anything. And as we were learning about last week, that could be a very, very relaxing type of a life. But when you get up to Gan Eden, when you get up to the crossroads of Gan Eden and the other place, after 120, you'd be surprised that you actually had a lifetime of nisyanis. As we learned at the beginning of the Sefer, every minute of life is this nisayin. Karav Rachuk, that's nisayin. But if you're not thinking, if you're not remembering, you don't feel that it's nisayin. Now, even if you're thinking, and even if you're remembering, and even, as we're going to learn, big people could also, at Shas Ma'isa, the Yetzirah, with all the knowing and with all the remembering, the Yetzirah is just too powerful and the person succumbs. But there's a huge difference between a person who lives this way with the cheshbon and with the remembering, even if he fails, as opposed to a person who b'chlal doesn't live with this. And that's where we're up to. Shin Yud Aleph. You have marked off?
Hamadrega, yeah.
Hamadrega, three lines down on Shin Yud Aleph. Hamadrega hayoyse gevohi shebishasin yisayin ha'odim zoicha ma'atachlis. The highest madrega is that bishasin yisayin, at the time of that temptation, at the time of that test, ha'odim zoicha ma'atachlis. It's very hard to remember bishas ma'yse. You could be a person that thinks about things and you're very, very serious about Yiddishkeit and remembering. But b'shas ha'nisayin, whatever that might be, could be eating, it could be money, it could be an inyan of gilei ra'ayis chalila. Whatever that is, b'shas ha'nisayin, it's very hard to remember what the tachlis is. Zoicha ma'ayim tzayim. And even if you remember that it's either, this is either going to be makar of you, or it's going to be merachi, it's going to bring you closer to the tachlis, or it's going to take you away from the tachlis, and you remember that, v'adayin yesh l'nisayin. It's still a nisayin. Like the famous story of Rav Amram Chassida, talking about a Tana, Rav Amram Chassida, that you remember that he was staying someplace and there were girls that were like slaves, whatever, women that were not from the finest people. They were on top of the loft over there at the barn where he was staying, and he had such a taiva, a Tana. He had such a taiva that he began to climb the ladder, but he started to scream. Nur v'beit Rabbi Amram. There's a fire in the house of Rabbi Amram. There's a fire. And everybody came running. The fire was not in the barn. The fire was over here. There's a fire in Rabbi Amram, in the heart of Rabbi Amram. There's a fire. But he had, can you imagine to have the, there's so many things you learn from that story, and that's what, you know, the Muslims talk a lot about that story. First of all, that's pretty embarrassing for a Tana. Can you imagine, like, one of the Gedolei Yisrael to call out in such a way that people come in and they see that he's going up to a bunch of girls? So that itself is an unbelievable thing. But Li'inyaneinu, to be able b'shas hanisayon, b'shas ma'isa. And he felt that if not, why did he have to scream out? If he was in the nisayon and he remembered the tachlis, that's why he screamed. And he said, "There's a fire by Rabbi Amram." Why did he have to scream? If he remembered, it was enough. Wasn't the remembrance enough for him to climb back down the ladder and to take out his tillum or his gemara, whatever? Wasn't it enough? Why is he screaming? The Torah says that's also an unbelievable madrega. He didn't feel that on his own he had the strength to go back down the ladder. And he screamed bedavka so that the people should come running. And they should say, "What are you doing?" It's an amazing story. A dying Yeshua has minded this. It's still a challenge. Even though Rabbi Amram remembered the tachlis of his life, and even though Rabbi Amram knew a million times more than we could ever know how doing such a ma'isa on top over there with the girls, that doing such a ma'isa would have taken him far, far, far away from the tachlis of his life. It would have caused him to become probably so broken and so humiliated that here I'm one of the Gedolei Yisrael and I did such a thing, that it could have chalila sent him completely away. And he knew all of that. So a dying Yeshua is mad at this. It's still a struggle. It could be that I'll succeed, and it could still be that I'll fail. Even Rabbi Amram could fail. So we see that it's possible that even a person like this, who thinks about God every moment of his life, Rabbi Amram, and he remembers that the tachlis is to be close to God, even such a person, it's a nisayon. And he knew very well that that's going to take him further away. But at the end, it's a happy story. The story has a good ending. Because at the end, Rabbi Amram succeeded. He did scream out. And he asked for help. But only because he lived this way. So we daven every day, Al tevi'eni loyli dei nisayin. That Hashem shouldn't test us. Because we know how dangerous it is to be tested. So we ask Hashem all the time. Even though the tachlis, of course, of our lives is to be able to deal with these challenges and tests. And yet, because we're so afraid of them, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al tevi'eni loyli dei nisayin. Yesh sug shel nisayin she'odam afilu loy moide shu nimtza bi nisayin. If a person is not living with this thought of the tachlis of his life, and with consciously making a cheshbon, is this makar of me, or is this merachik me? This thing that has now presented itself to me, is it bringing me closer to my tachlis, or is it taking away from the tachlis? If a person doesn't think about that, as we learned last week, he's not even going to think that he's in the nisayin at all. What's the nisayin? And if someone says, "How are you managing with your nisayin? How are you managing?" It's like going over, like you go, let's say you go up to some abusive, miserable guy that's abusing his wife for the last 40 years. And you go up to him and say, "So how's Shalom Bayis?" You try to say, "Like that, I've tried that. How's your Shalom Bayis?" You might also get punched in the face. But he would never say, "Yes, there's a problem." If anything, he would say that she has some Indian, there's something wrong with her. But I'm not in your side. So are you struggling? You're working? You're fighting hard to be a good husband? It's not in your side at all. Really, the biggest nisayin that a person has is to recognize that you're living in a nisayin. Think about that. The biggest nisayin that we have is this. Are you aware of the fact that right now you're going through a nisayin? That's the biggest nisayin. Are you conscious of the fact that right now you're going through a nisayin? You can walk out of through these doors after mincha. I don't know if there are any in the cavers. There are in the cavers walking around here. You could walk out of the door, and there could be some girl, and you could hop a little bit to look, and you don't think for a second that was any sign. You just walked past any sign, but you failed. I mean, you watch a bit. You look. So the biggest any sign is to live a life of consciousness, of awareness, that this is any sign. This is a nisayin. You still might mess it up. It was, even though you know that, you still might not be able to overcome. You still might fail. But the biggest nisayin is to acknowledge that this moment I'm going through a nisayin. Like the maestro I've told a few times, I heard this from an Adam Gadol that knew the Baal HaMaisa, that back in the early 60s sometime, Rebbe Yelapian was nifted, I think, 1970, so 69. But during the 60s, so Rebbe Yelapian was Mashgiach up in Kfar Hasidim. And there was a bocher that went to Rebbe Yelapian to ask for rishus to go to a wedding of some cousin or something, a wedding. And it happens the bracha didn't come from a from family. So Rav Eli asked him, this wedding, is it going to be together, men and women? And he said, so he says, yes, Rabbi, but I'll be careful. So Rav Eli Apian told him, he said to him, you're 17 years old, and you have fleishiga eigen. That's what the last name means, fleishiga eigen. You have your eyes are fleshy, are for meat. You have meaty eye for meat. He says, and you're saying you're not worried at all. He says, I'm already an old man, and I would be nervous to do so, to go to such a place. He says, the kolapachus, if you would be afraid. And the rebbe said, lebik vrus asus yechbas, lebik shaker yishia. Hashem doesn't want you to come and say, I am strong like a horse. Reitza Hashem es yireyav. Reitza es yireyav. Hashem Yisroch wants you to be a Yirei Shemayim, to be a God-fearing person. And a God-fearing person doesn't say, it's no problem, no spot for me. No problem. He wants you to be a Yirei Shemayim. Yirei Shemayim lives with a Cheshb. That this is a Nisayim. This is a Nisayim. And it could be that if you would have said, Rebbe, I don't know how I'm going to manage, I don't know what's going to be. I told this to you, I don't know if I said Shul, I said here, but I remember once that I was in the country, I was walking on the road with my wife. We were going to Woodburn, walking down to Woodburn, and there was a group of Bachrim from Ger. They were Ger Chassidim with their Malamed, with their Rabbi, and I was walking over there, and the Rabbi was talking to the boys. It was like 100 degrees. It was a hot day, and what happened is that the boys, the Rebbe, it was clear from what he was saying that the boys went on some sort of a tiul, like a spazier. They went from camp on a tiul, and it got very, very hot. And the Rebbe was partially afraid that that the boys were going to get dehydrated or something. So they went off there from the woods, wherever they were hiking, wherever they were going, and they came over there near going into Woodburn. Now Woodburn, some of you have been to Woodburn, so Woodburn's not exactly Midtown Manhattan, you understand, but it's also, you know, Nisyanis. So I was standing over there, and I hear that this Malamed and the counselor, both counselors, they're also wearing the whole lavush, you know, it's like 95 degrees, they're wearing the whole thing, it's Rachmanis, with the hat and the whole vehicle and everything. So listen, this is what happened. It made such a ration on me. The Malamed is going there, and he's with the other guy that's in charge of the boys. And first he says to the boys, you know, you have to stay here. He says, we're going to go into town, and we're going to get drinks. And he says, we're asking that each and every one of you, the boys that you say Tehillim until we get back, that we shouldn't chalili be nichshul in histaklus. That we shouldn't be nichshul. When we go into the store, we shouldn't be nichshul and seeing something that we shouldn't see. And the kids, they started davening. So that you tell the story, people could react to that very differently. Some sort of like, they're crazy, and they must be, they themselves have some sort of an obsession that they can't go into a store. That they're going to a store. And it's not only that, so all from people over there, so they can't go into this store, and they have the boys davening. There's a lot of pshatloch you could say about the story. Reitza Hashem es yireyav lamiachlam lechazle. Hashem Yisboch has a special warm spot in his heart for God-fearing Jews. And what the guys were saying was that, look, we don't usually go to these kind of places. People go in different ways of dressing. We're not used to this. We need help. There's a fire in the Nura, the base of the Rebbe Amram. There's a fire in the house of Rebbe Amram, the Bay Rebbe Amram. And we're afraid. And we need Siyata Dishmai. So I stayed there. I wanted to see what happens. What happened? So around 10, 15 minutes later, the guys came back with bags of drinks. And they came back. The older one had long blonde face. The older one says, "Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, who matzliach, shkoyach, shkoyach, shkoyach." We look at this like it's like crazy people. It'll be interesting to see at 120 who's crazy. They understand that this is Nisayon. So people like us, go up to the counter, and if the girl happens to be not someone that's Jewish, and she's wearing a little lovish for the summer, we can chap also a little bit to look like this and to look that. It's not even Nisayon. The biggest Nisayon is to know that this is Nisayon. This is Nisayon that I'm in. And that's just an example of everything, with mominess, with everything. But that's the biggest Nisayon. Bizarre Nisayon, a kosher b'yosei sheish lo'odam. Marshal ma'adav adayim, to what can this be compared? Odom ha'elach l'knes dira. A guy's going to buy an apartment. V'lo yedeya, shemisha meichel is a dira ha'rami v'noichel. He doesn't know that the one who's selling him the dira is a loven ha'rami. You know, he's a cheater. He's a liar. Ha'bevada yipal. So if you don't know that this guy, if you don't know that this guy's a liar, and you're going to buy something, an apartment from him, you're going to take advantage of. So habavadi yipol, kafil loyadol hisar. You don't even have to be careful. Like, you know, like a mechanic can see when some guy doesn't know what's going on. A dishonest mechanic sees this guy walks in, you know, and the way they ask questions and say, no, we'll take care of it. And he doesn't have a chance. If at least you know that you're handling with Lavan, you know, you're talking to Lavan, you're not talking to an honest guy, you're talking to a Lavan Arami. Yuchali Azar Mipanev, like Eliezer. You can be very careful, like Yaakov Avinu and Esav. Be careful. Yaakov Avinu himself said, Achivani Beramos. Yaakov Avinu said, I know this Malacha. I'm his brother when it comes to cheating, meaning I know this guy, I know what he's about, and I could deal with it. But he knew what Lavan was about. But if Yaakov Avinu would have thought that Lavan is this Madrega, what's in Kabbalah called a very high Madrega, of something that's pure and holy, if Lavan would be something pure and holy, Kulei Kedusha, if Yaakov Avinu would have thought that Lavan is holy and pure, then he would trust and would just walk into the store. He said, Ager Chassid knew that there's something here that's dangerous and I have to be careful. Period. It's dangerous, I have to be careful. If you don't know that it's dangerous, and you don't think it's Nisayon, then you're not careful. We're getting ready to go into the first chelik of the actual Sefer Mishnayos, which is Zehirus. The whole next volume is just on Zehirus, being a person who's careful. Imkein habos is sh'olav v'nuya kol ha'avayda. So therefore, the basis of our entire Avodas Hashem, everything is based upon this. Hu hayishuv hadas b'chol eis b'chol shah, to be thinking all the time. Sh'odim yizka maya tachlis shaloi, to remember what's the tachlis. Yizka esayim etzoyim hamekarvim mamrachakim, to remember what brings me close, what's taking me far away from God, what's bringing me to my tachlis, what's taking me away from my tachlis. What is my tachlis? Kiv esalakim. Is this going to bring me further or closer? Was maschil and nakudis and nisayin ha'amitis. Then begins the real nisayin. Because until then, if you're not thinking like that, again, it's not a nisayin. What's the problem? Like in the old Mad magazine, Alfred E. Newman. Who? What? Me? Worry? That's what he used to say. That dumb look. What? Me? Worry? Why should I be worried? Everything's fine. You work in Manhattan. You go in Manhattan. The weather's warm. You're not afraid. What, me worry? Not at all. I've known this answer at all. It means that you're so completely away, far away from the tachlis, and you're thinking about who you are and what the tachlis is of your life, that it doesn't mean anything to you. If you would be in touch with the tachlis of your life, you would say, Stakis Akana, daven for me. I'm working on it. I was nichshol, you know, yesterday at 3:30. But if a person doesn't live with these thoughts, if a person is not honest or doesn't care, then he's not even in the Nisayon. So it's only when you're thinking about these things, then the Nisayon just starts. Are you going to win or are you going to lose? Are you going to win or you're going to lose? Vadei shadayin ein zo'im eshi yetzliach. That doesn't mean you're going to be matzliach. You still might lose. You're in the nisayon now, and you still might lose. Gam tzadikim naflu. Aval heim naflu mitach yishev adas. This, as I said before, even a tzaddik fails, but the failure is in a mitzias, in a matzav of yishev adas. You could still fail because at that moment, you could be completely overtaken by the taiva. But he has yishev adas. What's the nafkimin? What's the difference? So Chazal say, "Imriisa Talmud Chacham Shava Aver Balayla Al Tahara Achav Beyoyim Shavat." He has a tshuva. Even if the Talmud Chacham Taka was nixel and he didn't avera at night, but you could be sure 100% by the time it was the next day, he already did tshuva. He already did tshuva. He worked it out because he's working. He's thinking. So even b'shas ma'isa, if he failed, but he puts himself immediately back into the world of tshuva and Tavodas Hashem, he doesn't run away. He doesn't run away from his responsibilities. He doesn't get into that whole track of Avera Gereves Avera, that this Avera leads to another Avera and leads to another Avera. He stops. So personally, if you have a guy that's been working on himself, he has a smoking addiction, but he's working on the smoking, he's working, or he's a drinking, he works on it. And then something happened and he had a drink. Whatever, he couldn't hold back. He took a drink. But at least that guy, after he has the drink, he doesn't let go. He's in that place of thinking of what's the tachlis. So he has that drink and he says, "Ugh, I was nichshel, and this is not the tachlis. My whole tachlis is to become healthy and to get away from this." So then he's able to right away start again. But a person who's not living with the cheshbon, he has the drink, and he has another drink, and he's in that whole mess of avera gereres avera. He doesn't get off. He's on that thing. It keeps on going. Can't get out of it. A Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, shor aver b'layla. It happens that he succumbed to the yetzahara. But al tahar achav b'yom vaday ozetshu. Vaday. No question that he got himself back into on the program, and he got hold of himself to work on himself and not to let this, you know, to work on it. It shouldn't happen again. Why do you think he definitely did tshuva? Because even when he did the avera, he didn't lose his mind. He had das. He just the yetzer was strong. But after the chait is done, once he did the chait, then you don't have the yetzer. You know, then you feel just bad about it. You feel horrible. So then the yetzer is already weak. So. So he right away strengthens himself to do tshuva. So I'm sorry I did that. He's mechazik himself. He tries to think of ways to avoid the situation the next time. Because he lives a life of das. He lives a life of thinking. Mashenikin, a person who at the time of chait is without any das at all. He just goes with it. It's not any sign. He just does it. Even after the chait, the chances of this guy doing tshuva afterwards is much, much, much dimmer, much weaker, much less of a chance that this guy's going to do tshuva. Now the Ramchal says, "Uchainin shenema dovka nafshi acharecha, bitomcha yiminecha." Dovmelch says that my soul is cleaving to you, is longing for Hashem, bitomcha yiminecha. And your right hand is holding me up and supporting me. So the Ramchal says, since the whole reason we came to the world is for this, to stand up to our challenges, to fight and to work hard and to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to run away from all those things that are in the way and that are preventing us and holding us back from that tachlis, which is Kivus Elokim. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us. Dovka Nafshi Asher, Rav Schwartz explains. Dovka Nafshi Acharecha Yesh Adam. There's a person, Shemash Dovak Esdoi B'Bari Olam, who has Seichel. You have a person that's not really with his heart, with his emotions attached to Hashem. Just in his head. In his Seichel, he wants to do the right thing.
Who is
Hu hadibuk asher b'neinu u'beinoi. Of course, everybody knows that the Rambam holds that the source of Dveikus Bashem is the intellect, is the mind. That's the Rambam Shita also. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mind, and through this mind we could become dovuk, we could become attached to Hashem. Okay, so we're not arguing with the Rambam. We have to understand. Achaleinu lahavin, we need to understand. Kieshnam shloisha shlovim ba'odim. There are three stages. Aleph. V'yadata hayayim. V'yadata hayam. Knowing. Understanding, knowledge, knowing. Beis. It's not enough to know. To draw this deep into your heart, to take that knowledge and to internalize it in a very, very real way, so that it has an impact upon you. Gimel, that's what the Rambam meant. He didn't mean stam seich. Gimel, shagam halev v'gam hamoyach nimtzoyim v'aisa medrega, to coordinate the mind and the heart. That's a very hard thing, to coordinate the mind and the heart. Rabbi Abunav Pshishka said that the distance from the mind to the heart is more than from Shemayim to Arvis. The distance between a person's brain and his heart is more than it is from heaven to earth. And to be able to hold that together, the mind and the heart, and to coordinate those two, and to have them working to synchronize the moich and the lev, that's v'yadat ha'yom and v'hashev reis ha'levecha, to come together, that's a very, very, very hard thing. Betchila, she explains. Betchila adam yodeya es hadavar b'maychai. The beginning, of course, is to know. To know in your head. This is wrong. This is wrong. Whatever this thing is that's come my way, it's wrong. To know it in your head. Or, to use a more positive and pleasant example, to know in your head that something that you could do is right. And you should do it. It's a good thing. That's the beginning. Yidiyas ha-dvar b'maychai, knowing something in your brain, intellectually, hivadei ha-basis shel ha-avayda. It's no question, like the Rambam says, that's the basis of the entire mahalach, of the whole plan. That's the basis. Abel hu-atzmai enenu sham b'madrega hazu. Now, even though your brain is there, that doesn't mean that you're there. In your mind, that's the right thing to do, let's say. So you can know the right thing to do is to go to shul in the morning. But that doesn't mean you, there you are. The fact that you know the right thing is to go to shul doesn't mean you're in the shul. You know that the right thing to do is to go to shul. Avol hu atzmai en enoshan. Because you haven't yet coordinated and worked out a relationship between the heart and the mind. So you know the right place to be is in shul. But that doesn't mean that you want to go. That doesn't mean that you want to go. K'may odam ha-shoyef la-gila makam asuyim. A person who wants to go someplace. He says he'd like to go someplace. Hu chayshev alav machshavtei, and he thinks about the place. Achu leisham, but l'mayis, he's not there. He says he wants very much to go to that place, but l'mayis, he's not there. So you could say, I want to go to shul. But you're not in shul. The fact that you know that that's the right thing to do doesn't get you there. When the Rambam says that our thoughts, our intellect, is that which attaches the person, attaches us to Hashem, the Rambam, of course, is talking about taking that sterile, cold thought of I know, and internalizing it, making it something that you feel. Sheyoshev esidiyosa lelibay, to bring it into the heart. Ozu dovek b'boyrei, then it can lead to dvekes b'Hashem. Gam mikoyach liba v'gam mikoyach moichai, sichlo, as the combined efforts, the tag team match of the moich and the lev, the combined efforts of the mind and the heart, that could bring the person to the place that he wants to be. Otherwise, I know that there's a good place to go, that doesn't mean you get there. And you could be sitting here and saying, ugh, I feel so terrible that I didn't go to that place. But it could be you also don't understand how important it is to go to Davin. Benkach or Benkach, the Moich and the Lev, the mind and the heart, didn't get together on the Inyan, and you're not there. Or it could be that the mind got you there. But once you're there in shul, you don't think about davening it. You don't feel the davening at all. It's a different level. So also get the shul. You get the shul because, you know, it's not nice if I don't go to the shul. My father went to shul. My grandfather went to shul. I've been going to shul my whole life. So you go to shul. But that doesn't mean that just because you got the shul that you're going there, that you're going anywhere with your davening. Doesn't mean you're getting anywhere. It could be stam. You go to shul. Because you're not really doing what you know you should be doing in shul. How's it possible a person makes the whole effort of going to shul and he talks in shul? Depends. The things that you could see a person that comes to shul, they could spend half the time in shul just talking. So, what happened? There are many explanations for that, but clearly, the fact that there's something in his brain that says going to shul is the correct thing to do. Otherwise, why would you go? It's much more comfortable to stay home. Why would you schlep? So there's something in your head that says that it's the right thing to go to shul. And there's even something that on some level, whatever it is, nostalgia, commitment, something pulled you go to shul. But then when you get to shul, what's the tachlis of being in the shul? So the person's living without the tachlis. He's living without thinking of the tachlis. Why would a person go to shul and talk? What if each one of us would promise that we try to think about that the next time we go to shul? And we feel like talking. Why would I go to shul and talk? Besides that, it's Neveira and all kinds of scary things we find in Chazal and in the Zohar Kodesh. What's the tachlis? You have very wonderful Jews that they go to these minyanim. They like going to like pulling up to the gas station, your regular high test, whatever. And you're pumped and you go and you leave. 14, 15 minutes, and some of the places that you could even buy a Danish and a coffee on your way out from the minyan. What's the tachlis? What's the tachlis? Why did I come here? Why did I come here? You know, you start to get a little bit, it's happened to me a few times, not that I'm that old, but it happened a few times that the other day I went to the basement in the house and I got there. I might not remember why I went there. I was pretty sad about that. I went to the basement and I got down there. I figured it was to get a safer because that's where I keep a lot of the swarm. So I figured I went down there to get a safer. I didn't remember what safe or anything. When I got upstairs afterwards, like 15 minutes later, I remembered the safe. That's a bad feeling, you know. You get someplace, you don't remember the tachlis of why you went there. How would your boss feel? If you went to work and you're sitting around, you're staring at the wall. The boss says, "What's going on?" He says, "I don't know why I came here." So the boss would tell you, "Well, you don't have to worry about that because you ain't coming tomorrow. That's the last time you're coming. I don't remember why I came here." But yet, we could do that in shul day after day. Come to shul. Oh. Of course, if somebody asks you, you'd say, "No, I know. I came here to that. I didn't come here to discuss the weather. I came here or the latest iPad that came out. I know I came here to that." No. It's not called remembering. It doesn't count. The Rambam's talking about a combination. Also, David Gavoy, Gami Kerch Liboy, Gami Kerch Marcha, Sichla, Dvekas, and Nimtz is Bamech Belvad. If there's only Dvekas in the Moyach, if you just have an intellectual awareness or knowledge of something, and then a Dvekas, that's not Dvekas. Vamishiashal Be'em is Dvekas Belev. But if your Dvekas, if your knowledge of the brain gets into your heart and connects to the heart, then the Behechach Shiashal Gam Dvekas Der Hamar. If you have in the heart, then of course it's also in the Moyach. There's no such thing as dveikus that's purely intellectual. Dveikus means to long, to cleave, to connect. Connecting. It's not something which is cold. It's not an intellectual thing. It can't be just b'moyach. Dovka nafshi acharecha. That's what David Melech is davening. Dovka nafshi acharecha. Dveikus. Kedarkim shal ehavim. David Melech speaks like people who are in love. Like someone who's in love with a girl. Ahava nimtzes b'lev adam. The heart is filled with love. Love is in the heart. Avlim adam oyhev, havisha choishev hualeh tamid. If a person bemis loves, if somebody loves his wife, if somebody loves that person, bemis. If there's something in your heart, it means mimela, you're gonna have it in your head. Why? Havisha choishev hualeh tamid. A guy that mamish feels love, of course he always thinks about the person that he loves. So the dveikus is on two levels. It's on two levels. When the Rambam describes, Ahavas Hashem, he compares it to the love of a woman, and he says, like the same when the guy's mishigi in love, he can't think of anything else. He can't think of anything else. There's such an inyan of Ahavas Hashem like that. So this is why the women feel bad when the guy comes home, and the husband comes home, and you know, she sees that he didn't remember it's the anniversary. No, I bemis, I love you. I just wasn't thinking. That term, I love you, but I wasn't thinking, doesn't stim. It doesn't stim. So then you try to get, you see you're in trouble. So you say, well, no, of course, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Like when we were teenagers, that chilik. And the wife says, shkoyach. You can make all these chilukim, all the pilpulim. There's no such thing to say, I love you, but I wasn't thinking. How could that be? When you love, mimela you think. When you think, you don't necessarily mimela love. But when you love, you can't help it, your thoughts. You can't help it. You could have for a second, if something happens, you could have a hesachadaz. But if you love, then you think. Therefore, it's not really a terrorist. And that's why the women get very insulted. What do you mean you weren't thinking? What do you mean you weren't thinking? Anybody that was ever in love knows that the problem is how to stop thinking about it. How to stop thinking. So then, okay, you have to explain that. You know, I have to concentrate. I was concentrating at work the whole time. I'm busy. A lot of things on my mind. And the wife says, yeah, and I'm not one of them. Period. And she's right. Of course she's right. I'm not one of them. And she's hurt. Because that's exactly what he's explaining. So the dveikus is derech, like the Rambam says, also derech machshav. If there's a dveikus means where there's a feeling, an emotion of cleaving, of caring, of loving. Mimela you're thinking about. That's if the heart is, of course, with love. Shalachdus in one place. Your heart's not divided. Oh, I didn't realize it's Yom Kippur. I ate. Oh, I didn't realize it's Yom Kippur. So the fake is about the oil. Hadveikus b'boyeilum maschilim etzem kach she'odem yedei ma'atachlis. The veikus in Hashem, the veikus begins, of course, with knowing what the tachlis is, remembering what the tachlis is. Yedei ma'him ha'emtzayim shemiviim, and he remembers if this is the tachlis, then how do I reach my tachlis? The person says, my tachlis is the veikus b'Hashem. I know that. How do I get there? Like a person says, my tachlis is to get to New Jersey. How do I get there? So you say, you can go over this tunnel, you can go over that bridge. That's my tachlis. But you first have to know where you, but the tachlis is, where do you want to go? What are the means that get you to your tachlis? And you try to stay away from those things that would keep you away from the tachlis. There's a whole industry now. Where they make machines that you could put. My daughter has this on the phone. That's not just a GPS. I only heard about this 2 weeks ago. It's not just a GPS. It's a. It also tells you don't go by the tunnel. The tunnel is gefährlich. I mean, that's not gefährlich. Maybe they made one like that. Don't go to the tunnel. Don't go by the tunnel. It's traffic, so the GPS tells you that's already the next level of the GPS, that it tells you here's traffic, here, go this way. Kind of a person says, where do I want to go? And then how do I get there? And to try to figure out what's the way to get there, what's the best way to get there. Va'oz yegiyah bez Hashem l'tarus aleva amitis. And then it's possible to get. Then you can get the tire. I mean, they're nisyanis along the way. And even if you get even if you get stopped along the way and they pull you over and you have a little bit of a detour and you messed up with something, but you get back on the road. You get back on the road. There's a difference between somebody that goes off the road and gets fadrate a little bit for, you know, a few blocks, and somebody that gets off fadrate to a whole different neighborhood, a whole different world. Anybody that's ever gotten lost in the car knows what that's like. But you're all together in a different place. Not even this bechlal, not like when you stop to ask somebody before there was GPS, and you stop to ask somebody, and like when you start asking, the person's like nodding their head, like, oh boy, you know. So you say it's not, you know, no. It's like way, way, way off. Not like when they say, oh, you just missed, it was the last corner, you have to make it right instead of a left. Oh. So a person that lives with a cheshbon, even if he gets off the main road and they pull him over and he had any sign he messed up, but they tell him, okay, you get back on the road, it's right around the corner, you can get back. But if you get off on Drake, how far away the tachlis is, and then when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, you start to say, how do I, and they go, oh, you're far, far, far away, you got really far off, you went far away. If you live like that without a cheshbon, when the heart is pure and the heart feels a connection to God, you're thinking about God, and therefore you don't get lost. You don't get lost, and if you do, it's for a moment, and you get right back because you're thinking, because you care about the tachlis. You remember the tachlis. That's another thing you could have. You could be driving in the car and you're talking on the front of the car, and then you look up. You don't know where you went. You went different places. And it's not, you went past your exit or something. You went past your exit. Or I remember once when I was a kid, my father came home, like, it was like 2 hours past the time. My mother already called this one, called the, who knows, it was a whole, all out, all bullet, was a point bulletin search for my father. My father walked in, like, you know, my mother starts to cry, everybody's standing there. What happens, my father fell asleep on the train. He went like a whole other run or something. He just went like through the thing. He went back and forth. You know, he missed, something happened. But then when he said, then he woke up. It was the next stop. It was Continental. And he said, Baruch Hashem. I don't even know what the time. He said, hey, he woke up in time. And he got off the train. He came in, well, everybody's crying. What happened to him? So you can go like that your whole life. You can go past and all the stops and everything like that and come around, and you think that Kikarva Lecha Davamoid B'Fichel Lavachama, you think that Yimam is right here, and you go very, very, very far away. Even though the Torah says Kikarva Lecha, a person can always do the tshuva, but it's already a big, big avodah. If you became so completely lost in something, it's very hard. Once you've made up your mind, you got to change. It's much harder to change. Page 10, you give me the last page. Kikasha Adam Oyev Pliny. Because when a person loves somebody, when you love that person, you don't have to make an effort to think about the person. That's natural. You don't have to have all your beepers going up saying, it's my wife's birthday, or tell my wife how I appreciate her, and to have on your iPhone a reminder going off, and your wife says, oh, what do you have over there? She says, I really appreciate everything you do for me. You read it from the eye of life. For that, you need a reminder. That you appreciate me. It means you don't live with it. It means you don't feel it. But if there's a hava, it doesn't require effort to think about the person that you love. Ela ba'ofen tivi daita negeros l'sham. It's natural. Your thoughts naturally go to that place. As long as you have to make a real effort to think of something, it's a simon that's not coming from a pure heart. If you have to make an effort to think about it, it's a simon that it's not from the heart. You have to, ketisha means to grind, you have to work at it. You're thinking about being connected to Hashem, which, of course, is a very, very beautiful thing. And it's the beginning. But you're not there yet. Just because you think it doesn't mean you're there yet. And Rav Schwartz says, not the chasoma, that's not important. It's very important to have the right thought. It's very important, even if you're not in that place of love, to at least in your head, because that's the beginning of the avoda. Avla dain b'derech, but you haven't gotten there yet. You're not there yet. You're on the way. Halo higila tachlis. You're on the way, but you haven't gotten there. Hatsura hanachani liyaz dovuk b'bari oylam. The correct way to be dovuk, the correct surah of Dveikus b'bari oylam, hikasha be'emes ha'odam oyhev es metziyas Hashem es barach kivyachol. We're going to have mitzvah. We should have years to be able to go through the sefer and to come to this. It's when a person be'emes loves Hashem. He's filled with nahava for his father in heaven. And when you love God, you think about him. You can't stop thinking about him. You want to get closer and closer. You're thinking about him, you want closer. And the thing that scares you most is to get far away from him. Is there anything should distance you from him? Zuha yira hamitis k'meishin yira l'halam. And this is true yira, as we're going to see further ahead. V'nei achashi yadanu. This barer, so we end the parak. V'nei achashi yadanu v'his barer etzlenu. Once we know, and it's clear to us, amitas haklal hazeh, the truth of this klal. Yesh lach k'al protov. Now we have to begin to investigate all of the details, all the protim, l'fi madrigo yisayim. And all the different madregas, mitchilas hadar va'atzayfai, from the beginning until the end, from the most basic level of being a person who's more careful about what he thinks about and says and does, all the way to reaching a madrega of ruach hakodesh, of being a tzaddik, who's dovek b'Hashem. K'moy shesidram Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. And we're going to follow the order that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair established for us. So the whole sefer, of course, is built on this side of Haim: Hazahirus, Hazrizus, Anikias, Aprishus, Atahara, Chsidus, Anova, Yiras Achet, Vakedusha. And this program of these 10 steps are available to each and every one of us. And that's the highway, that's the road, that's the way to get to Dveikus B'Hashem, to Kedusha. V'atanavarim echad echad b'siyayta d'shmai. Now Amchal says, now I'm going to explain each one. I'm going to explain each one of these, each one of the steps, each one of the madregas that's necessary in order to reach the tachlis, to get to the destination, to get to the goal. Those are the words of Amchal. Ad kan Nizbaira b'siyayta d'shmai chayvas ha'adam b'alamo. This whole parak, this whole sefer, was to explain this awareness, living a life of awareness, of chayvas ha'adam b'alamo. What's my obligation? What's my responsibility in my life? What was I created for? Maya tachlis. What's the tachlis? Shekol in yonei ha'olam em be'etzem em tzoyim la'gila is a tachlis. And now everything in the world is just a way to get to that tachlis. You can't veil, and from now on, Yivar Lona Rabbeinu Ramchal. Now the Ramchal is going to begin to explain to us as Tzuras HaSulam, the ladder. Eich Oilam Shlav Achri Shlav. How we climb the ladder one step after another. Elohim Seidah Madrega Shuvah Brayis of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, according to the Brayis of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. I will say if Ma'aseh Machshav Etchilim. But even as we end this parak, and which is devoted to the Tachlis and thinking about the Tachlis, and we begin to enter into the program of the actual steps on the ladder, remember Seif Ma'aseh Machshava Tchila. That means what? Lifnei Shodah Megila Tchilas Ma'aseh Muchrachu Shatachlis Tiyavruolo. Every step along the way, we have to remember the beginning. And the Tachlis is, Machshava Tchila is always, what's the Tachlis of my life? Machay Vasa Balama. Mekarev, Merachek, what's the Tachlis of my life? So every step along the way, it doesn't mean we graduated and we don't need that. It means it's all cumulative, but this is the beginning. We have to remember that. Oy Ozzy says, and if we do that, then every single step And every single point along the way, we will be able to recognize and to see and to appreciate Kal Em Tsoi as a means, as a way. Shal Yoda Yagia Bez Hashem L'Shleimus Amitis Shiyadveikus Beis Baruch Shemai, is a way to reach Shleimus, which is Dveikus Beis Hashem. Mar Hashem can't make a seam on Perek Aleph, but we worked a lot on it. Now, what we're going to do, Mr. Hashem, I mentioned last week, I want to take a little book and have an intercession. Not Chalila Stam. We're going to spend the next few weeks learning a teaching from the Chalban, from the Chalban Reb Chaim Kohn, from the Tzaddik, from the Chalban, on the inyan of Bitochna and Hishtadlus. It's all leading up to Chanukah. It's all about Chanukah, the subject of how to balance in our lives trust in Hashem and the Hishtadlus that we have to make with Panosa and with other things, because that's something that I find that all of us are struggling with, and it's a very, very chashuv thing, and since it leads to Chanukah and it's all what Chanukah is about, so I thought it would be a nice thing to spend this next month, Mr. Hashem, this tkufa. It might take us a little bit to Tavis, a week or two past Chanukah, but I think we could try to finish it during the time of Chanukah to Sarba Tavis. So I'll make copies, Bez Hashem, and we'll begin to work on that next week.